Some realities are too complex to be seen from just one angle. That's certainly the case this morning, hence why we have a tag team for today's sermon. You see, today is a special day in our community when we pause from responding directly to the crises of the moment, which are grave, to reflect on the growth that is happening right in front of us. Today, we celebrate members of our Right 13 youth group and their transition out of childhood toward manhood and womanhood. The changes in these young people are certainly slower than what is happening right now on the national scene, but in their own way and on their own scale, they're no less momentous. For those of you unfamiliar with this St. Albans tradition, each year we take time to recognize our young people around their 13th year to mark this time as a rite of passage. So many other rites of passage are recognized in church. Our births are announced here. We're married here. We're buried here. So we take time now to mark this move toward adulthood as something significant in its own right, something separate from confirmation, because they really are two different things. Today gives us as adults a chance to reflect on what we owe our young people, what kind of world we're giving them, how we're living up to our own baptismal promises to do all in our power to support them and their lives in Christ. It also gives you, our young people, a chance to claim out loud the creative powers that God has given you. Today is a chance for all of us to think about what kind of mark we want to make on the world. We wonder sometimes what God really asks of us. And today's Old Testament reading is kind enough to give us a clear answer. He's told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Sounds like a good standard for judging just about any action, whether it has to do with refugees or Muslims or anyone else. Is it just? Is it kind? Does it reflect humility before God? As if that weren't a high enough standard to live up to, Jesus in today's gospel with the Beatitudes seems to raise the bar impossibly high. Who wants to be poor in spirit? Who wants to mourn? Being meek or humble doesn't seem to get us very far in life. And let's face it, it is hard to be merciful or to make peace when what we really want is justice, or our own version of it anyway. Is it even possible to be pure in heart, or to find joy in persecution? On some level, it does not make sense to live this way. It can seem like foolishness. At the very least, it seems overwhelming. Given the sheer difficulty of the Christian life as it's presented here, what kind of mark can we possibly make?
Whether you're a right 13er today, at the beginning of your journey to manhood or womanhood, or like me, further along in your journey, let's pause and think about the world in which we live, a world in need of marks and people willing to make them. First, some background about who I am. I was born and raised here in D.C. I had a brief introduction to St. Albans in my childhood, but it wasn't until much later, after my father's death in May 2014, I returned and jumped in with both feet. I serve on several committees to help run our annual auction. After Ron Hicks's retirement, I joined a team of talented volunteer vergers who keep our services running smoothly, or as smoothly as we can, I should say. But today, as we celebrate our Right 13 class, I'm particularly proud to be associated with these young members of this parish as they move into this new stage of their lives. Of course, there's a deeper question, deeper answer to that question of who am I and what am I doing here. that answer requires a lifelong search, a search on which we all find ourselves. Today, as we talk about transition from being a child to being adult, I'm hoping that part of that answer is found in this children's book. That's right. I'm bringing some children's chapel into the big church today. Our story today, boys, girls, ladies, and gentlemen, is The Dot by Peter Reynolds. And for my sake, I hope there are no copyright infringement lawyers in the audience today. Art class was over, but Vashti sat glued in her chair. Her paper was empty. Vashti's teacher leaned over the blank paper. "Ah, a polar bear in a snowstorm," she said. "Very funny," said Vashti. "I just can't draw." Her teacher smiled. "Just make a mark and see where it takes you." Vashti grabbed a marker and gave the paper a good strong jab. "There." Her teacher picked up the paper and studied it carefully. She pushed the paper toward Vashti and quietly said, "Now, sign it." Vashti thought for a moment. "Well, maybe I can't draw, but I can sign my name." The next week, when Vashti walked into art class, she was surprised to see what was hanging above her teacher's desk. It was the little dot she had drawn, her dot, all framed in swirly gold. "I can make a better dot than that." She opened her never-before-used set of watercolors and set to work. Vashti painted and painted. A yellow dot, a green dot, a red dot, a blue dot. The blue mixed with the yellow, she discovered that she could make a green dot. Vashti kept experimenting, lots of little dots in many colors. "If I can make little dots, I can make big dots too." Vashti splashed her colors with a bigger brush on bigger paper to make bigger dots. Vashti even made a dot by not painting a dot. At the school art show a few weeks later, Vashti's many dots made quite a splash. Vashti noticed a little boy gazing up at her. "You're a really great artist. I wish I could draw," he said. "I bet you can," said Vashti. "Me? No, no, not me. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler." Vashti smiled. She handed the boy a blank sheet of paper. "Show me." The boy's pencil shook as he drew his line. Vashti stared at the boy's squiggle, and then she said, "Please, sign it." Now, imagine a blank sheet of paper in your mind, or maybe grab one of those pencils in your pews and find a blank area of your bulletin and look at it. Now, make a dot. How's that for an optimistic image? A blank piece of paper and a dot. Where will the dot take you? Perhaps it is the eye of an animal or the first small pebble in a long stone path. Maybe it's the crest of a wave in a giant ocean or an ant about to embark through a yet-to-be-constructed maze. The dot could take you anywhere, and it could be the beginning of something great. A bit more about dots. I once went skydiving, and no, right, 13ers, I am not encouraging you to do that. But I loved the image of being on firm ground, getting into this small plane, and then circling in this giant corkscrew as we ascended into the air. As we went higher, my perspective changed. Suddenly, I could see over the mountains that had blocked my view. Birds became closer, and people on the ground became smaller. The blue sky and the clouds became inviting, and the sandy desert below seemed to become drier and distant, almost cold, ironically. I remember looking down and seeing the building on the edge of the airstrip. With my new perspective now, all that building was just a dot on the landscape. Then, after swallowing hard, we jumped. I tethered to a professional jumper, and the wind blew loudly in my face as we fell. Of course, you don't feel as if you're falling. You feel as if you're flying briefly, not aware you've just become Isaac Newton's apple on the way to the base of the tree. Then, thankfully, the parachute opened, and what was incredibly loud became quite peaceful, the wind rocking me as the dots became buildings again, and I landed gently, or at least I was told it was supposed to be gently, back on the ground. By the time we collected our things, the plane had already left with its next set of participants. My perspective had changed again. There I was on the ground next to that same building, the big mountains around me, looking up at the blue sky and the airplane as it climbed again. Now the plane was just a dot up against the sky. My point, what seems just like a dot, may really be much bigger. It depends on your perspective. To our right 13ers and to all of us here today, I would say this. Find your sheet of paper and make your dot. Find many sheets of paper and make many dots, large ones, small ones, bright ones, and dark ones. When you find another person searching to make a dot, help them. Help them even if their dot is a squiggle, because that squiggle may lead them to great heart too. As you write 13ers Journey to Adulthood, think of ways to make dots together. Think of George Seurat, the post-impressionist artist remembered for his use of pointillism, a technique of painting in which a collection of colorful dots come together to make an image. Go to the National Gallery and study Seurat. Up close, it's hard to make out what the dots mean, but as you step back, the dots form a field with farmers working, or a rainbow, or simply people swimming at a pool or a park. The image changes as your perspective changes, but every one of those dots contributes to the larger image. While you're at the National Gallery, walk through the other galleries. Consider for a moment that nearly all those paintings began with a blank canvas, with an artist touching a paintbrush and making a dot. As we all continue on our journey to and through adulthood, think of your canvas. Think about young Vashti. Think how you will make your mark and where that mark will take you. The realities of life may be complicated, uncertain, or scary, but with many dots and splashes of color, you have a beautiful piece of artwork ahead of you.
There are lots of ways to approach the questions raised by our scripture readings today. I could tell you that the Beatitudes are not a list of commands, that they're an expression of God's blessing and care for us when we're in really tough circumstances. I could say that they're about how we live with each other regardless of our individual faith, how we can make God's kingdom on earth look more like the one in heaven. But given what Dudley's just shared, I prefer to say it this way. Every time we admit our poverty in spirit and our sadness at the pain in the world, rather than pretending that everything's always okay, we're giving other people permission to do the same. We're making a mark. Every time we react with humility and search for righteousness, instead of just assuming we're always right, we're making a mark. Every time we show mercy or seek peace or purity of heart, we are pursuing a justice that is bigger and better than whatever we could come up with on our own. And yes, we're making a mark. And every time we stand up for what is right and speak out and are willing to face the consequences for it, we are making a mark. These dots might feel small, but they're part of a much bigger picture, one we don't always have the perspective to see. That's part of why we have this, the church, this community of young and old and everyone in between, so that we can gather up all our dots and offer them up to God, trusting that with God's help, we are making our mark on the world and creating something truly momentous. Amen.